Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, excited to have everybody join us on another one of these Business of Digital podcast episodes. And we're just going to jump right into it today, Dave. And we have special guest Robin Johnson with us, founder, CEO of Marketplace Blueprint. And besides being an Amazon expert and a listing optimization expert, Seller Central and all that good stuff, if I missed anything, Robin, please feel free to jump in and correct me. But welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I always love getting to like nerd out about marketing stuff and sharing a little bit about Amazon, because it's this backwards, upside down, crazy place, but it's a fun place to play.
Indeed, and yes, and I'm actually... You know, I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say, because, you know, this is stuff obviously that's super interesting. So I'm glad that our listeners are going to get a chance to listen. And so again, thank you for joining us. Now, Dave, I'm just going to go ahead and let you kick it off with where you want this to start, and we'll go from there. So,
gracias. I think we decided we actually planned this time, which is shocking.
Very shocking for us.
Way too organized today. I think, Robin, just the, what did you see in the last year and a half, from just before COVID, we were just talking about it, to today? Like, has Amazon and just what you've been seeing gone crazy? Is it finally settling down? Is it going even crazier now? Like, what have you kind of seen from the number of people coming on and just, you know, in general on Amazon?
Well, you know, COVID was a really good time to be an Amazon seller, to be having your products on Amazon. We, of course, you know, as an agency that specializes in that, we got really busy. You know, there was a definite increase in the amount of people who were on Amazon, just because people were trying to get products. People were, you know, locked down for a while. But we also saw a shift in the way that brands were looking at Amazon. Before, in fact, there were several brands that we had talked to before, and they said, before COVID, they said, it's just not a priority for us. Amazon is not where we're really focused. It's not really important to us. We don't really care what happens on there. And then just a couple months later, Amazon was, for some companies, their only real distribution channel, depending on what kinds of stores. So especially products that were primarily in like specialty gift stores, or, you know, maybe stores that weren't deemed essential, we kind of became their only distribution point for a small period of time. And so we were really busy. A lot of our clients were all really busy. We saw giant increases. We had an established brand that jumped over 300%, you know, year over year. And they've been, and while they the growth has slowed down, they were able to maintain a lot of those gains. There are a lot of people that did start buying on Amazon that will continue to purchase on Amazon, and we still are seeing that things are not ebbing as much as maybe we might have been concerned that they would ebb back after everybody was kind of up and about and moving around the country again. But it's been, and we're seeing that brands are now seeing that there is lots of different ways to utilize Amazon in their overall marketing and distribution plans. In fact, we have a couple companies that, you know, because they put so much effort last year because of COVID, they really thought that their product was very seasonal, because brick and mortars would only carry their products during certain times. And now they're seeing that there is that demand all year round. And so it's providing a little bit more of leeway and ability to kind of flex a little bit during their off seasons to maintain those sales.
That's interesting. I wouldn't even thought about the you know, you're a seasonal thing. We only have so much shelf space, you know, like at a Target, like you go in the back, it's like, here's all the camping gear, and then it'll disappear and they'll put in something else, or, you know, different toys. Is it just those kinds of things that normally just don't have a lot of shelf space, or, and then it just goes poof?
Yeah. So I was just having this conversation today with one of our gardening products, and they said, you know, the stores had always dictated when our season was. So unless we could convince them to carry the product longer, they would just take our product out. But, you know, this, you know, I'm in Arizona, and I know Matt is too. You know, there's people in California that garden all year round. And during the busy season for other areas, you know, that's kind of when we'd garden less. So they're now seeing that there can be more ability for them to sell sell at a higher volume, even off of their main season when the brick and mortars were really interested in carrying their products.
We have the opposite problem up here. Like when it comes to spring break, if you don't, because I'm in Chicago and it does get cold up here, unlike you two, you know, if you're going somewhere warm for spring break, you have to plan way ahead and buy shorts for the children as they've probably outgrown stuff. But the stores tend to don't care. I mean, they know to carry some, but often we have to go online almost all the time for them because the options are so picked over as soon as they come out.
And especially if it's a non-digitally native brand, a lot of times they have their season in their mind is so built up around what the brick and mortars have told them that they forget that there are so many of these different edge cases across the country for all sorts of different products. And so even something like a swimsuit, your season is probably longer than you think it is. It's just going to be a little bit in a different region, perhaps, or you're not going to see your total sales volume that you do at your peak season, but there are still consistent sales available. And online is where a lot of people are going to get those needs met. And if your product's not available, they'll go to a competitor.
Which I think is a perfect segue into the common ways to sell on Amazon, because there's more than I would have thought. Do you want to break down? There's, I believe, four. Is that correct?
Yes.
Feel free to correct me because I have some notes, but I'm sure some of them are wrong.
You know, and Amazon is always trying to rule things out, and they'll rule things out and pull them back. So they try to do something for, you know, service providers like plumbers and things like that, and then they kind of have half pulled that back. When people think about Amazon, they think of going to Amazon as one unified store, whether you're buying a book or an Audible or you're buying a physical product. They all look like it's one big piece on the front. However, in the back end, it's actually several different platforms. And the platforms are very different from the way you input products to how much inventory is sent in to and how payouts are done. They're all very separate. And the main ones are Kindle Direct platform. And that is where CreateSpace used to be. And so it's where you can write and publish your own soft cover books. It's also where you can do Kindle books. And then there is Amazon Merch. These are the two smaller ones. This is for things like promotional items like t-shirts and pop sockets. And they've rolled out sweatshirts and different things throughout the time. So this is going to be print-on-demand items. Now, the two main platforms that most people think of when most people think of Amazon are going to be Seller Central and Vendor Central. These are both where physical products are sold on Amazon, but they're sold in two different ways. Seller Central is I'm the merchant and I sell on Amazon. I determine the price, I determine how many to send in, and I'm in charge and I still own my inventory. Vendor Central is where a lot of big brands think of Amazon, and that's where it's an invite-only program. Amazon buys your products from you. They determine how many. They determine how much they're going to sell those products for, and then they are the seller of record for that product. So if you ever see ships and sold by Amazon, where it says Amazon is the seller there, that means that particular brand is using the Vendor Central platform instead of the Seller Central platform. If that makes sense.
It does. And Vendor Central is invite only. So only, you know, like the big Nike and the big manufacturers. Usually, I'm sure there's other smaller ones that get asked too. The merch one is interesting though.
Yeah, you know, if you're interested in merch, there's a guy named Chris Green that's all about, he likes to talk about merch a lot. But it's been interesting, you know, as a lot of people kind of went over there. The print-on-demand has been a place for people who kind of want, like, low-start entrepreneurial things. People do kind of, they'll do, like, journals and things on KDP, and then they'll do shirts and stuff on print on demand. Amazon is really particular about copyright, which, you know, of course they have to be. So you have to be careful. You kind of need to know what you're doing. In Amazon as a whole, Amazon has a culture where they expect you to understand the rules. So if you go on and you break the rules, you can't say, I didn't know, it's not my fault. They're going to say, well, what kind of bad business owner are you that you didn't understand the rules of the platform you were selling on? And so you can get permanently banned for things. Things that can seem pretty benign if you don't understand why Amazon finds these things so important.
Can you give an example? Because, I mean, SEOs, we always talk about, you know, shades of gray and what is illegal versus what Google says is bad. What would Amazon flag you for, possibly?
So some things that get people a lot that are, you know, that people who are well-meaning didn't intend to do anything black hat is you had your mom review your product that you just launched on Amazon. Friends and family are not allowed to review products. Or you had all your employees review your product or your competitor's product. That can get you your product removed from the platform. Maybe you're selling kids' shoes and you were like, man, I would really like some of those Nike customers. So in the back end search terms, you put Nike, that can get your listings taken off if when Nike goes through and does their copyright pieces. Now, that's not going to permanently ban you unless they see it happen a lot. And you know, sometimes it's little things like, you know, deleting shipments to try to get a better shipping rate over and over again. Or it can be something like a negative customer experience can get your product detail page removed. So if a lot of people if your listing isn't really clearly stating that your item runs small and a lot of people are having a negative customer experience, Amazon will make sure that that negative experience doesn't happen anymore by removing that particular detail page from the catalog.
They will smack you down.
Yeah, and they won't feel bad about it. You know,
because someone else will be selling the exact same thing probably, and they're fine with that.
And, you know, I think that's fundamental to selling on Amazon. Sometimes, you know, I'll get a big brand that comes to us because they have gotten in trouble. You know, there's a lot of people who say they're good at Amazon, but they don't really have the experience, or, you know, it's somebody with only Google experience trying to run Amazon. And they'll say, but I'm a $20 million a year seller on Amazon. How could they do this to me? $20 million to Amazon is pennies. They don't care about you. No matter how big you are, they don't care about you. They just went through and suspended a bunch of eight-figure sellers because of some manipulation that they caught. So the most important thing to understand is, especially if your business is all Amazon, then you have one client that is very temperamental, very demanding, and very moody. And so you need to make sure that you have the cash runway for if something does happen with your listings and you need to sort it out through Amazon. And you also need to make sure that you're really watching what these new policies, what is Amazon trying to say? When they say they roll out something like the Inventory Performance Index, which basically measures how good you are at managing your FBA storage, what they're trying to say is, you know, we don't want to be a storage locker. And so you need to look at what is their intent and try to keep your interests and Amazon's interests aligned as closely as possible. And that's how you avoid getting stepped on. When what you want and what Amazon wants are at odds, you will always lose.
This is one of those cases where, as an SEO and digital marketer, we always talk about how you really need, you know, and I just saw Eli talking about product-led SEO the other day. But when we talk about SEO, really needs to be integral into the business. When you're trying to sell on Amazon, you really need to have all functions performing correctly and together and in sync and playing nice. Otherwise, any one of them can get you knocked out.
Yeah, so Amazon is so in some ways you could look at Amazon SEO and say, well, she's not really an SEO. She doesn't do any of this other stuff that I do. There's a lot less of the technical stuff. We don't have to worry about crawlability at all because it's all structured data, and Amazon, that you know, the algorithm that's running everything knows exactly where each of those data pieces are. So in that sense, it's a lot easier. In another sense, you know, organic rank is impacted by advertising sales and by conversion. So if you run out of stock, if your advertising is off, if you do something that is going to get a policy violation, which could suspend the seller or suspend the product, then you can end up taking 10 steps back on your overall SEO plan for Amazon. So you do need to understand the platform as a whole, and there are pieces of traditional SEO that you're not going to need, and there's a lot of pieces that look the same butter upside down. So, you know, it looks like we're doing keyword research. Yes, we're doing that keyword research. But on Amazon, we look at individual keywords for organic, and then for paid, we're looking at the keyword phrases. So if I want to rank for a kid's tool belt, I can write, this kid's leather belt set is great for tools and it's the perfect kit. Obviously, that would be a horrible way to write it. But as long as it's in there, it will put them together. And then what it determines, so there's indexing, which, you know, we want to have each of the words in there. And then it looks at how well does something convert for that phrase to determine where you end up in the SERP. And that's kind of an oversimplification, but, you know, there's lots of other factors too. But if we kind of want to take an over glancing thing, that would be where we would start.
It's almost like if you've ever done Google Ads, it's like what Google does with broad match.
Yes.
Except Amazon does it for their SEO. It's like, oh, well, you mentioned two words that are very similar. Therefore, we're going to put you into the next, you know, we're going to at least possibly qualify you to be on that page one. But then I think you listed off a number of things. Before we scare off everyone from going, holy cow, this isn't at all SEO, Robin and Dave and Matt, what are you guys talking about? What are the similarities? You did mention the keyword research, but are there any normal similar, or, you know, we don't have to worry about, you know, can it crawl it, because we're basically giving it a data feed. So it's almost like, you know, Google Shopping or an RSS feed of just, here's our products, you know, just like you're kind of doing with Bing now. It's like Bing, here's my site list of my site, you know, a site map. What other similar things can someone that's done SEO traditionally, you know, at least know that it's going to be the same in Amazon?
So it is going to be a little bit kind of a mix of that feed. Mm-hmm. There's certain areas, most of the areas in the feed are indexable, but there's some areas, there's additional areas outside of that that are not indexable. So one of the things that traditional SEOs have an advantage over maybe somebody who's just coming and listing their product is they understand the importance of structured data. And there is a lot of structured data that is available. When you go and you download those inventory loader templates, if you go into the advanced section, and by making sure that's completely filled out, then it increases the total number of indexing opportunities that you have. So some of the other things that are also the same is, you know, trying to balance incorporating as many keywords as possible with making the text where it's going to be something that actually converts when it sells. Then there are some things that are still different. So Amazon renames all of the files as you upload them. So you don't have to worry about naming your images as it stands right now. They've kind of played with maybe having that have some impact. Kind of the way that you title your products will kind of impact the way that the URL will come up at the top. So, you know, people who have, you know, so that's kind of similar in that you do have some control over the way that certain aspects of your listing do show up.
I think there is the other similarity, which you kind of mentioned, is just the user intent and does your product match up with what they're actually shopping for. So you kind of mentioned that you can write whatever you want and use, you know, keywords, and you can keyword stuff it a little bit, you know, you can do certain things like that. But if you try to cover everything, you know, and almost, you know, it's like some people are like, well, if you just write this 5,000 word article and just cover everything about the topic, you know, you'll rank for 5,000 long tail searches. But, you know, for some of us, that if you were to look in your Google Search Console, you'll also see 100,000 impressions and very few clicks, or maybe a couple clicks or no clicks. With Amazon, that's actually just going to tank your entire account if you're not converting.
Yeah, because conversion is the most important thing. So when I'm talking to new clients, I tell them that Amazon is the most capitalistic search engine out there. All it really cares about is making it sale. It doesn't care how long you dwell. It doesn't care, you know, it doesn't care if you found, it just wants you to buy the thing that you want and to key, and for that to be a positive experience for you as a customer. So, you know, and kind of on to build off of what you said, the other thing that I see that people with digital marketing experience is they understand the balance between trying to make sure we're getting the right keywords, but also not focusing so much on overly broad keywords. We in the beginning, you know, 10 years ago, to try to rank for garlic press was really easy. So there wasn't as much, people didn't really think about how broad a term was. But as advertising and the number of listings on Amazon has just skyrocketed over the years, you know, one area that I see some experienced sellers struggle with is they want to be number one for phone system. Well, you know, if you have a PBX phone system, ranking for phone system altogether might not be the most important keyword phrase, even though it is relevant.
So it's almost, you almost have to put a PPC hat on and really think exact match for your SEO in Amazon, if
yes.
That makes sense.
So that's what's weird about Amazon SEO is that a lot of what we do, you know, there's the indexing step, right, where we're trying to write the content, make sure it will be ready, you know, for the customer, and then the customer will convert. But a lot of the things that we're going to do to try to get it to rank, you know, we don't need to worry about link building at all, because Amazon doesn't care where the links are. They're creating all the links within the ecosystem, and they don't care about outside of the ecosystem. So what we're trying to do then is we're using clippable coupons, we're using advertising in order to cause the conversions for the organic ranking.
And since those different things don't matter, what does matter? What things that you can impact on the page? So I assume reviews, how often things are purchased, and you know, some of the keyword stuff. Is there anything else, or is there an order that you look at things?
Yeah, so first we look at making sure we're maximizing as many keywords as we can in the title, bullets, structured data. That includes like the back end keywords, of course, which, you know, a lot of people who are familiar with Amazon are familiar with, but also things like fabric type and genre and age ranges and all. There's a lot of little things that are in that back end structure data. And if you don't do that, the little filters that are on the left hand side, your product won't be filterable by those things on the side there. So it's important that you go back in and fill in that all of that structured data. After we look at indexing and we made sure we've got the copyright, then we're going to start looking at things like special programs. So, you know, if you have a shampoo, can we get you in Subscribe and Save? If you have, if you are selling PBX phone systems, we want to make sure that you're, correctly set up on Amazon Business, provide a business discount for people who want to buy multiples all at the same time. Using things like A+ content and really great images to help make sure that people can convert. And then we're going to use, the last layer is going to be a combination of PPC, coupons, discounts, something to help drive that initial traffic. Now that we've got everything set up, so my listing is, we've reduced as much friction as possible so that people will convert at the highest rate possible. Then we're going to kind of jumpstart that with advertising. Then what we do is we take a look at the advertising data and we look if there's any re-optimization that needs to be done. So, you know, there's always alternate use cases that sometimes people don't pick up right away. There's a lot of kind of redoing listings on a regular basis to kind of adjust for different keywords that are starting to gain popularity for that particular product set, or even changes in the way that the brand wants to be known, or as we get to know the product overall.
And what about, I know this could probably be its own entire episode, but reviews, I'm sure Matt, who's not feeling good today, and probably could talk about things he's bought. And it's like, you know, if I see 1,000 5-star reviews, I'm kind of scratch my head versus 4.8. You know, is there, I don't want to say a sweet spot, but is there a goal to at least have it a minimum, or like number of reviews if you're a brand new product? Like, should you at least try to get so many by first month or week or 3 months or something? Or
yeah, so, you know, Amazon will tell you to be retail ready. They want you to have 25 reviews.
Oh, wow.
Now, this really depends. If you are a autistic toy for left-handed children only, you probably don't need any reviews because you're going to be the only result for that SERP, or maybe you're one of six, right? So it's non-competitive, then you don't need very many reviews at all. If you want to sell a blue iPhone case, you're going to need like 3,000 reviews. Now, you'll start converting after you get, you know, your conversion rate will start to get a little bit better. Your ads will perform anywhere from 25 to 50, but people look at those reviews as proof of concept. Now, I agree with you. Sometimes brands will get, especially young brands, small brands, they can take every negative review very personally. Some negative reviews and critical reviews are actually a good thing because they show that the reviews are real. When every review says this is the best product I've ever used ever, then you know, people are a little skeptical, and they're going, you know, they might even go off Amazon to verify that. So I'm the first.
Yes, we do.
And it's not even us, just us marketers. I mean, my wife tells me all the time, like she'll be.
This sounds too good to be true.
Yeah, she'll be she'll be looking up a product. She's like, oh, I didn't go with that one because everybody had nothing but good stuff to say about it. There wasn't like anything bad about it. And so like I knew something was up.
Yeah, if you're a seller and you have a bad review, and you literally step back, read the review. There's times where I'll be like, I'll look at a bad review about Yelp on Yelp or on, you know, Amazon or on, you know, Target or Macy's or whatever. And I'll be like, really? That's what you're nitpicking? That was your problem with it? Whatever.
You but know, also it's they like, could, you know, if they don't take offense to it, they could also learn and grow from it as well. I've seen that a lot of times with clients and you know, getting some of that feedback that they don't like. If they take a step back and don't get offended, they could learn from a lot of it. But I understand what you're saying too. Like some of it's like that was petty, but some of it they can learn from.
There's also, I was going to buy something at down the street here, and it's like a standing rocker thing that was going to help me, you know, kind of strengthen my legs and my back, but also make me kind of adjust while I stand all day. Every single review just about said, I had it for 3 days and it fell apart.
Oof.
So clearly there's a problem, and it's these reviews go back 2 years. I'm like, how old is this review? This one's 2 years. Okay, well, did they fix it recently? 1 month ago, same problem. 1 week ago, same problem. Nope, don't want it.
See, so they didn't
they're
read
not
and learn.
Using those reviews to improve. That's what they should be doing.
And, you know, there have been times when the brand will say, but it's because they're using it incorrectly. Well, you know, especially if we're taking on a new client, they'll be like, oh, well, those reviews are dumb because they, you know, they're using it the wrong way. And so that's why it's breaking. Well, nowhere in the last 2 years has that brand said, hey, we need to rewrite our listing, or we need to have an image, you know, pretty early on in that carousel that says, hey, you can't lean on it this way, or not to be used if you're... You know, you can.
Here's a video example of how to properly use.
Yeah, that's
it
what I was
going to
say. They missed out on that opportunity for some new content.
And you know, a lot of times people will get frustrated with Amazon because they'll remove their product listing because people will say, you know, especially on apparel. Well, you know, it was removed for people saying it was too small. That's not my fault. Well, the first two, no. The last 47 of them, yes, because we needed a size chart. We needed an image, you know, with a little arrow showing that it's snug in the waist. Something is happening in the listing that you're not giving people what they need in order to determine whether or not this product is a good fit for them.
Yeah. Interesting.
And if you take nothing else from this, you know, episode, just think that all Amazon wants to do is sell stuff. Help them sell your stuff.
So
that's it.
Before we wrap up, any final questions that you have, Dave, or any final thoughts, Robin?
I think we kind of talked about some stuff around the SEO. For the keyword research and the copywriting, how would you put it more in line with like writing a PPC ad but doing... you know, basic keyword research, or like, how would you compare it for people and just kind of sum it up? I think
I think if you had to say, like, I'm going to go with one methodology or another, I think the PPC is probably going to be yield you better results, as long as you can separate in your head that you don't need. So if you, you know, white chocolate fudge will also index for chocolate fudge and white chocolate. So you don't need to repeat things. That's, you know, it's a way, a lot of, you have a very finite amount of space on Amazon. And so a lot of it really comes down to trying to best utilize that finite space, because most of the fields have character limits on them. So you only have so much. So in that way, I think it's a little bit more like PPC. You have certain things you need to put in. You're trying to optimize for conversion while including as many keywords. Repeating words is not a ranking factor on Amazon. So by saying olive oil 600 times, that doesn't make your item, doesn't do anything to the ranking for on Amazon. So you're better off using lots of synonyms, and then that creates more doors that you know, that people can come in and find your products.
Unless you're selling, what's the character from Muppets that says Bork, Bork, Bork? Oh, the chef. Unless you're selling a book about the Swedish chef and you just have the entire thing say Bork, 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 I would buy that. Just for that reason. Like, if the entire description just says Bork, 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 or, you know, I am Groot, like, that would be, you know, that would be a good, you know, description too. It's like, what is this book? I am Groot, I am Groot, I am Groot. Like, perfect, that's what I want.
You got me.
But yeah, I also, that also goes to the point of what someone, you know, goes to that user intent, what problem do they have, you know, how to get in front of the right people. And it's a lot of what I try to do with SEO. It's like, we just don't want traffic for the sake of traffic. And I think that's what biggest thing with Amazon. Amazon, yes, doesn't want to send someone to a page that's not going to convert. And SEO should be thinking like that. I don't want to rank this page for this keyword unless it's going to move them down the funnel. You know, what is the business reason behind it? And I think maybe that's the thing to take away. If when you're doing Amazon SEO or just advertising on Amazon, you need to be thinking like the business, like looking and thinking about nothing else other than how can I make Amazon money so that I can make money and get the sale.
And the other thing you want to remember is Amazon is very bottom of funnel. By the time people go to Amazon and type something in, they probably already have Barbie's Malibu dream house in mind. So you want to make sure that you're thinking about your content in the terms of those bottom end funnels. And if you're, you know, an e-commerce director that's doing Amazon as well as a bunch of other things, Amazon can be a really good place to looking at that advertising to help you identify really good keywords that are converting well for your product mix that you can integrate into your website's SEO overall plan. So it can be a good place to kind of, things can work together. They don't always have to be one or the other. I know that there can be a fear that Amazon can cannibalize your e-commerce sales, and it 100% can if you don't do it carefully. But there are ways to kind of develop synergy working with your own platform and Amazon's together.
Well, Robin, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us and share this information with us. So, thank you.
What was the, I'm looking back in the notes. I don't think we mentioned it on air.
Oh yeah. The,
if you
Facebook,
do have additional questions or you're curious about getting into selling on Amazon, Robin does have a group. It's facebook.com/groups.
We will also drop it,
listing
though.
Support. And I will put it, of course, yes, in the notes.
Yeah. Me and my husband are in there. We're always happy to answer questions. If I don't answer, tag me, you know, at Robin Johnson in that group, and then I will be more than happy to answer any questions that you have.
Awesome.
And thank you very much for this is what, 2 days after Prime? When did it finish? Yeah. So she's had a busy week or two coming on.
My eyes are almost done bleeding from working so much. Awesome. But yeah.
Well, for
I'm gonna go talk about Amazon now after Prime Day. Good idea, Dave.
Well, everybody, for Robin with Marketplace Blueprint and Dave Rohr with Northside Metrics, I'm Matt Siltel with Avalanche Media, and we're signing off for now. Thanks, guys, for joining us. We'll
Thanks
talk
all.
To you later.
Thanks, bye. Robin.
Thanks.